Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What an awesome animation. We have been working with a brilliant young animator, Matt Hasselblad. In fact, I interviewed him a while back, and he did a stint. He's a young guy. He and his wife, Mercy, Matt and Mercy Hasselblad, just have an awesome ministry and their talents. They just exude talent. And he did a stint for a while with George Lucas out in California, his industrial light and sound. And so Matt is so talented, and we've asked him if he would work with us to create animations of the global flood and the consequences of the breaking forth of the fountains of the great deep. And so I'm looking at here a 28-second animation. This is a draft. It's nearly done. We'll be presenting it to Dr. Walt Brown this week and hoping for his approval, and then we'll begin to include it in our teaching resources, including on our website, rsr.org/flood, for people to understand the scope and the power, the forces behind the global flood. So anyway, great job to Matt there for this animation. I just love it, how it starts at the seafloor, see a fish swimming by, and then you see the crack start. Then it goes to the surface on an inland sea. You see the fountains erupting. Then you get a global view from out in space. It's just awesome. So I can't wait to share that with you guys. Also, in a few minutes, I'd like to give you some thoughts that we covered in a series at Denver Bible Church on our system of government here in America and things that are wrong with it. We did a series on the biblical principles of government. And this was a 6-part series, and it included a number of criticisms of our own Constitution, the U.S.'s Constitution, and proposals for how to improve it. I'd like to share some of those ideas with you to give you an overview. In fact, we'll probably make that series available on DVD, Blu-ray, or download, The Biblical Principles of Government. But before we get to that, I have something really interesting to share with you on that regarding the regional authorities and their relationship to the leader of the nation. Because we have major cities that are saying that they totally reject the authority of the federal government. They're not going to comply with federal law or with the policy of the president. They're going to do their own thing. And so how would that work if you had a corporation where the officers in the corporation didn't have to follow the authority of the CEO? Or if you had an army and the general is supposed to lead the army, but all his subordinate officers, the lieutenants, the colonels, the sergeants, and so on, if they didn't have to follow it, they could do what they want. How would that work for the army? So we have a system of government where the regional authorities could just simply disagree and refuse to comply. So how would that work? Is that a good way to run a business or to run an army? And so why would it possibly, conceivably, be a good way to run a nation? But anyway, we'll get to that a little later. First, something on global warming. If there's global warming, why has it been so cold? I mean, just up the road from our studio here, we are nestled between Denver and Golden, Colorado, in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, our Bob and Yurt Live radio studio. Just up the road a bit, Greeley, Colorado, had 33 degrees below zero. I mean, that's cold. In Russia, just a couple days ago, 80 degrees below zero. 80 degrees below zero. if there's global warming, why has it been so cold? And so now scientists are warning of a coming ice age. And this is, I mean, this is a Yale climate scientist published in the journal Science. It's called Science Magazine, but it's a scientific journal, peer-reviewed, all that. The second most prestigious science journal in the world, next to the journal Nature. Nature's British, and Science is American. So I'd like to share with you some of this article at Climate Depot, out today, January 10th, which, by the way, happens to be my birthday. Not a big deal, but January 10th, 1959. I mean, not a big deal to the public. To my mother, it was a big deal. To me, it was a big deal. And so I'm now 58 years of age, actually older than that, but we count our age from when we're born, not when we're conceived, thankfully. But 58 years old, so hope you're doing well. I am blessed beyond measure, have such a wonderful life. My wife and I feel like we're on an enduring honeymoon with our seven sons, three teenagers left still at home, and our ministry, the radio show, the science show, Theology Thursday, Denver Bible Church, just blessings all around. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, but somehow, in the midst of it all, we are still blessed by Jesus Christ and with the love that we share with our family and friends. And so it's a very dark time to be alive in the world, but in Christ, the blessings are overwhelming. So at any rate, this article published at Climate Depot, January 10th, 2017, scientists now warn of a new ice age. That's a headline in Pravda, which is an Eastern European media outlet. More on that in a moment. But scientists now warn of a new ice age as temperature plummets to minus 80 degrees Fahrenheit in Russia. And so this is fun. They start out with a three-month graph of temperatures. We see temperatures plummeting, especially in the northern hemisphere. Very impressive winter events have been taking place across the globe, and again, mostly in the northern hemisphere, especially eastern and southeastern Europe, pounded by massive snowfalls and tremendously cold temperatures, as we've experienced here. We traveled to Montana three times this year. The last time, what was it? How cold was it when you guys, I'm speaking to one of our family members in the studio audience, how cold was it in Montana the week that you guys went there? Do you remember how cold it got? Minus 23 degrees. Helena, Montana. Turkey, the nation of Turkey, we've got a Bible tour of Turkey. Turkey has been buried by heavy snows and extreme cold temperatures have also gripped the entire USA. Vast areas of Russia, and Russia is what, the largest landmass nation in the world across all these time zones. Global warming, the global warming climate appears to have been hacked, they said at Climate Depot. That's a great line. The global warming climate appears to have been hacked by natural factors. Extreme cold and snow pounded the northern hemisphere so far this winter, as some scientists are warning of the potential for ice age conditions. All right, in Russia, Moscow celebrated the coldest Christmas in 125 years. Snow has paralyzed the city of Istanbul, Turkey. What an amazing city that is. Increasingly Islamic. Massive snowfalls across the Balkans, Italy, and Greece. Dozens of Europeans have frozen to death so far this winter. How's that? Dozens of Europeans have frozen to death. And remember the claims of the global warming alarmist, the end is near alarmist, over the last 15 years, 20 years. Remember those claims? Well, more on that in a moment. Northern Albania villages have been cut off by 4 feet of snow. Imagine getting 4 feet of snow. You're cut off from the rest of the world. In a temperature of 80 degrees below zero Fahrenheit was recorded in Chanty, Russia. 80 degrees below zero. How's that? So Arctic conditions are spreading deep into the Mediterranean. That's what's happening. Now, these are all odd events, Climate Depot points out. When considering what the consensus was, the consensus forecast made 15 years ago, which warned us that snow and ice would become rare events. I mean, there would be, you know, Al Gore talking about kids throwing a snowball and we're not going to be able to do this pretty soon. You like to go skiing? Forget it. It's over. Ice on the North Pole, the sea ice, there's going to be no ice left. What was the headline just a week ago? The Arctic ice is as thick as it was back in 1940 before all the massive industrialization and the explosion of carbon dioxide, which is irrelevant, by the way. Many scientists warned that Mediterranean conditions would spread into Northern Europe. Lately, however, just the opposite has happened. Arctic conditions have plunged down into the Mediterranean. Even worse, there is no end in sight for this harsh European winter conditions, according to the German media. So in the face of all the earlier global warming predictions, it is now ironic that yesterday the German language Pravda TV site published an article warning of an impending ice age. And this goes back. We have here in our radio studio library, we have the book published on global cooling, the title of the book. Now, back in the 70s, they said we were at the beginning of a coming ice age. And one of the chapters is the politics of global cooling. And you have the U.S. Senate, all these people, the media, Time Magazine, everybody saying, brace yourself for the coming global ice age. And that didn't work out, and it warmed up a degree or so, so then they changed it to global warming. They said, by now, forget it. The Arctic, all the ice would be melted. And they point to all the glaciers melting in Greenland, said, this is it. And it turns out that the glaciers there are melting because of geothermal heat, because of heat coming up from the crust, not because of the climate. But anyway, minor details. So this article cites a scientist from Yale University, Wei Liu, W-E-I-L-I-U, and a paper he published in the journal Science overlooking the possibility of collapsed warming and things may turn around and we may have a prominent cooling over the north and the areas around the North Atlantic. Sea ice increases over the Greenland, Iceland, Norwegian seas and to the south of Greenland. So this is all, right? These are all ideas that flatly contradict the claim that as we put more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that the planet is going to warm up. This all flatly contradicts that. So the Pravda report summarized this Yale scientist paper with these words. Carbon dioxide has nothing to do with it. Rather, the influence of the sun is the dominant factor. We've been saying that for 25 years on Bob and Yurt Live. That global warming is caused by the sun, believe it or not. Fewer sunspots and the weakening of Earth's magnetic field have an impact on the climate. That's far more significant than the carbon dioxide we release into the atmosphere, which, by the way, is very good for plant life. And if we were creating global warming, well, then people who live in Siberia and Tierra del Fuego, they'd be rather thankful. I mean, why would Russia be against global warming? Think of that. Why? Possibly. But at any rate, it's the sun. It's the weakening of Earth's magnetic field. Now, that's something you don't hear about, generally speaking, through the mainstream media, because it goes against, I mean, on the face of it, it goes against the old Earth context of the evolutionary and atheistic worldview. Right? How much has Earth's magnetic field decreased in the last 150 years? Does anybody here know in our radio studio audience? A lot. Put a percentage on it in 150 years. Is it 100%, 50%, 25%, 10%, 2%, 5%? Excellent guess. 6%. It's 10%. We have been measuring every 5 years. The geophysical industry makes a global, they have a database of the strength of the Earth's magnetic field, which varies somewhat different places around the world. And that database goes back many decades. And before the start of that database, there were thousands of measurements that have been compiled to bring back careful measurements of the strength of Earth's magnetic field back 150 years. And I mean, I know that atheists don't believe anything that a Christian says, generally speaking. They believe nothing that a creationist says. So I'll quote Mikio Kaku. You know that physicist? Mikio Kaku. He's on all these TV shows about the solar system, the universe, the Earth, all famous physicist. Also, the University of Maryland's geophysicist. He's pretty famous, too. Daniel Lathrop. And Lathrop just comes right out and says, over the last 150 years, Earth's magnetic field has declined in strength about 10%. And, you know, the Earth's magnetic field, it protects us from the electromagnetic radiation of the sun. And so as the field decreases, more of that radiation will hit the Earth. And also, Mikio Kaku, K-A-K-U, points out the same thing and is in agreement with Daniel Lathrop, acknowledging that, hey, there is this incredible decrease in the strength of Earth's magnetic field. So to go back to this article at Climate Depot, our carbon dioxide, nothing to do with it. And as one of our kids said at a local college, one of our sons does dual enrollment, homeschool and college simultaneously. So you could graduate, by the time you graduate 12th grade, you also graduate with an associate's degree from college. You get the both of them in the same month. Pretty cool. But at any rate, he's pointed out, well, you guys are panicking over global warming because of fossil fuels, but you say we're running out of fossil fuels, that we're going to run out of oil in 30 years. So isn't that a self-correcting problem then? We don't have to worry about burning too much oil, because if we're going to run out of it in 30 years, we run out of it, big deal. Pretty good argument from a homeschool kid. So anyway, we don't need to worry about global warming. Global warming it's something that is done by the sun. Mars has also warmed up a degree or so, and there's only two SUVs on Mars, and they're solar powered. So don't worry about your SUV. And there are plenty of things to be concerned about. Global warming is not one of them. God promised us in the book of Genesis after the global flood that for as long as the earth remains, we will have springtime and fall, summer and winter. And so the things that are really disastrous that we can have an influence on, concern yourself with those. don't be manipulated by the left, by liberals, by socialists, by evolutionists, who want people, you know, the end is near, end of the world prophets, to worship the earth. When you reject the creator, then you have not much left to be thankful for, so you end up being thankful to the creation. So instead of worshiping the creator, you worship the creation. Instead of praising the creator, you praise the creation, which is really not fulfilling. So anyway, and that's one of the reasons that we have always strongly opposed the radical environmental movement, the radical animal rights movement, the radical recycling movement, is because they all have a worldview agenda, which is intense hostility against the creator God of the Bible. And by the way, my father God can whoop your mother earth, so you might as well be on the winning side. All right. I mentioned that we have just completed at Denver Bible Church our series, The Biblical Principles of Government. What a fun series that's been. We started out talking about democracy and why democracy is a destructive form of government, why it's very similar to a representative republic. The representative part is the democracy part, and these two are cousins. They're very closely related. And so we did that early on in the series. And then we went to problems with the U.S. Constitution and proposed basically a constitution that would repair all the errors of our current constitution. There are a lot of Christians who have spent decades saying the reason America is falling apart morally, spiritually, the reason we're not fulfilling the opportunities that free economy should give us, is because we're not going by the Constitution. Well, what if the reality is the opposite? What if the Constitution paved the way for the destruction of America? What if that's the reality? And what if all those Christians that have spent now decades using a major portion of their public influence in their churches, in their activism, around the dinner table, with their kids, in their homeschool curriculum, their Christian school curriculum, on their talk shows, from the pulpits? What if a major effort to say that we need to return to the Constitution, what if we all get to heaven and God, and we are presenting our lives to the Lord, and we learn in the Bible that either as believers, we either get rewards from the Lord or we lose out on rewards, one or the other. And he will wipe away our tears. So the things that we've done in the flesh, the things that we've done that have gone counter to his will and his righteousness and his hopes for us, because the Bible says he is a God of hope. When we are with the Lord and we find out, wow, I fought for 15 years for term limits and God didn't even care. He didn't care anything about term limits. So all that was a waste, because I could have been fighting for principles of governance that God has affirmed and that he has revealed to us, that he shared with us, things that are important to him. But I never really thought to look in the Bible to see what any of them might be. I never thought. I listen to David Barton a lot, and I listen to Jay Sekulow, and I listen to Focus on the Family. Sometimes I even found where National Right to Life did something. And I listened to all that, and I cared a lot about all that, and the Republican platform, and I did all that. But somehow, 15 years of my life that I put into this or that or this or that political goal, trying to achieve it, and the Lord didn't care anything about them. He did care a lot about government, because the law is the great teacher, and government affects our families and our churches, the world. He cared a lot about government. He said a lot about government, but really, at my church, I never really learned much about what God said about government. I never really bothered to study for myself. I guess I never thought to care about what God cared about regarding government. But still, I opened my mouth and I advocated for a lot of things. I even got in a lot of arguments with people. And I guess I had no idea what I was talking about. So I'll give you one example of something we covered at Denver Bible Church. And it looks like we're going to put these together in a series, The Biblical Principles of Government, video, audio. But take regional authorities, for example. When you are going to run an entity, whatever it is, if it's important, let's say it's a corporation, and let's say you make cell phones for the masses, or whatever it is, perhaps you provide food, whole grain wheat, you provide whole grain wheat for half the country. So you're feeding tens of millions of people. Good, healthy, nutritious, fattening wheat. And it turns out that the people who work for you, you're the head of the corporation, and the people who work for you, all the managers and all below you, they get to decide for themselves whether they want to implement the policies of your leadership. They can just disagree with you and ignore you. How do you think that would work for a corporation? Think the corporation would be effective? Or do you think it would be close to insanity implemented as through an organization? I'd say it would approach insanity. How about for a military where the general, 5-star general, the head of the Pentagon, how about that? And they don't care? The people under them do not care? The colonels, lieutenants, the captains, whoever, they just don't care what the authority above them says. They're going to do their own thing. So with our form of government, who's ever running the nation is easily experience a complete rejection by the authorities under him. So that the governors, the mayors, and so on just disagree and couldn't care less. And so you've been conditioned to think that that's all valid and important. But I would suggest to you that it is irrational and that the checks and balances that were claimed that would implement, that you were sold a bill of goods because they don't work. And it is a failure. And there are biblical principles of government that could help us understand how a government should actually function. So what a fun series we did at Denver Bible Church. By the way, you're welcome if you're in Colorado, in the Denver area. Come out Sunday mornings. May God bless you.